From the studios of Radio Sai at Prashanthi Nilayam, I am Chandu Vijay and this is Love to Love. The 24th of April 2011 had been the most emotionally intense day in every Sai devotee's life. We just celebrated the Aradhana Mahotsavam or the Festival of Worship few days ago, and today on Love to Love, let us listen to people from different walks of life as they explore and reflect their experience on that day and how they connect to their inner Sai now. We'll be listening to Lynn Kriegler from New Zealand, Toshiko Aota from Japan, translated by Sister Kimiko Chaudhary, Brother Sai Giridhar, Research Scholar, Department of Chemistry, Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, Prashanthi Nilayam Campus, Sister Supriya Rao from Puttaparthi, Sister Aarti Krishnan from Chennai and Sister Lalita Shekhar from Bangalore. You will also be listening to some soul-stirring music from Linda Gallagher, Talmans and other various groups. So let us begin with Lynn Kriegler. Sai Ram, Lynn.
Sai Ram.
Welcome to the studios of Radio Sai and welcome to Love to Love.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Let us begin by you introducing yourself, by stating your name, where you're from, and what do you do?
My name is Lynn Kriegler. I'm from West Auckland, New Zealand. I was originally from the United States, but I emigrated there and married a wonderful New Zealand gentleman. And my work in the world is I'm a children's book illustrator and writer, and I'm an oral storyteller and puppeteer.
The 24th of April 2011 had been the most emotionally intense day in every Sai devotee's life. So what emotions did you go through on the 24th of April 2011?
On the 24th of April 2011, this was Easter Sunday in New Zealand. I am frequently asked to be a speaker at events, and I had been asked to prepare a speech on the resurrection of Jesus and the meaning of Easter to be given to the Auckland devotees on that day. My speech was for 6 o'clock in the evening. There were about 300 devotees there in a large school hall. We got the news that Swami had left his physical form about 5 o'clock. I remember everyone...
5 o'clock in the evening?
In the evening, okay. Our time. We are 7 hours behind.
Okay.
And everyone burst into tears. The men were in shock, and the women were weeping. I felt nothing but a tremendous sense of elation and freedom. And I was so happy. I seemed to be the only person there who was absolutely so happy. And one of our elders came over to me and he said, Lynn, this is a time for spiritual maturity. You're going to have to change your talk.
Okay.
So there's no time to examine emotions in a situation like this. I'm the speaker. I have to speak. Our chairperson gave the news, and people were simply in complete shock. So how to give an uplifting speech when you are faced with 300 weeping people?
Yes.
I've given many talks. This was my most challenging one. My topic was resurrection. So after the chairperson gave the official announcement from Prashanthi Nilayam, I began my speech. I threw away my speech and had to ad-lib. I remember pointing out the word resurrection, which is the Latin word which means to resurgere, to resurge, to be reborn, to come back in a new form, in a more beautiful form. And I remembered that Jesus had been buried with a stone rolled in front of him. And, of course, the moment when Swami was put in the samadhi was a time of tremendous emotion for everyone, because I think people were expecting him to come back.
Yes.
I know this, that the cameras were there just
yes.
in case he staged a miraculous, you know, about-face. But it wasn't to happen. And the sealing of the tomb is always a very, very sad time. And I'm an oral storyteller. And in storytelling, stone is a symbol for a lower state of consciousness. And when Jesus was put in the tomb, a stone was rolled in front of the tomb. It was cut out of rock. And on the third day, the stone had been rolled away. For me, the stone represents, you know, your ego mm-hmm. being rolled away. And to me, this is what Swami's great gift to all of us was he taught us how to roll away the stone. Of course, many people have said to me, oh, when I touch that marble, I feel so sad, it's so cold. And I say, how can you say that? That samadhi is a power station. It's a radio station. It's a superconductor. It's a bank. It's a lawyer. It's a counselor. It's whatever you want it to be. He is there for everyone. To me, the power is fully here. Mm-hmm. You don't need to go anywhere else. The gift is here. But you have to roll away the stone, which is your maya, your thinking that, you know, he is no more.
Yes.
And this was the tone of my talk also.
Okay. So the next question I had actually planned was, how did you cope with the sorrow? But now you said that you are actually happy and then you didn't feel any sadness when you got the news.
No.
So let me put it this way. You know, every experience we go through actually teaches us some lesson.
Yes.
So what were your learnings from that experience, 24th of April, 2011?
Definitely, one of the things that I always remember from my Christian upbringing was Jesus, when he was consoling his disciples before his crucifixion on the night before, he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go before you to prepare a place for you.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami said something very similar in one of his discourses. He spoke about many mansions. I will quote just briefly. He said, Swami said, I have resolved to enfold the people of the world in the fostering care of universal love as laid down in the Vedas. For the world is my mansion and the continents are the halls therein. I have come to inscribe a golden chapter in the history of humanity where falsehood will fail, truth will triumph, and virtue will reign. Character will confer power. And wisdom will be enthroned in the Council of Nations. Do not be misled. Sincere effort entitles you to the grace of God. So he was really giving a prediction here that in the future, the Council of Nations will not be inhabited by men of power and money and greed. It will be people of character. And the similarity with Swami's words and Jesus has always meant a great deal to me. So it wasn't at all a question of coping. To me, it was comparing the incredible similarities between Swami's life and the words of Jesus. I loved it that he always said, you know, he was he who sent Jesus. I embraced that fully and wholeheartedly from the moment I set foot in Prashanti and came in touch with his teachings.
So how do you relate to Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba? He's your guru, God, friend.
He's my best friend, and he's the best storyteller in the world. he's a very good publishing director. I work in children's books and publishing.
Okay.
And whenever I had interviews, he would look over the books I was doing for him. He would bless them. He would say, what are you doing? I would say, your books, Swami. He'd say, no, our books. I'm very happy. And that was my touchstone, my benchmark. He gave me my assignment fairly early in the piece in 95. He commanded me to start a book center in New Zealand, which I did. And so he's always been my best mate. And my beloved. We always called him Beloved Bhagwan.
Yes.
And that's how I relate to him. He's bigger and stronger and brighter now in my life than he ever was. He never went anywhere.
Wonderful.
He's definitely right here in Prashanti. The power is fully here. And he's definitely in my heart. Because I asked him in an interview, Swami, what's heartbreak? Mm-hmm. And he said, what you don't know is you've got two hearts. He said, physical heart is on the left, spiritual heart is on the right. Physical heart is negative energy. He said, spiritual heart is the only point of positive energy in the body. He pointed to the center of his chest. He said, consciousness is God, find me here.
Oh.
That summed it up for me perfectly. He said, none of this will last.
Mm-hmm.
This body, brain, organs. He said, even this body will not last. Speaking to me in 95, pointing to his body, this body will not last. He gave me a clue even then. So put all the attention on the spiritual heart. It's the only thing that survives death. So how beautiful was that? He gave me all the clues.
Yes. So what is your way forward spiritually for yourself?
Spiritually, this time on the trip, my biggest agenda was to get close to God.
Okay.
Normally, I'm involved in lots of projects here at Radio Sai with education and all that, but this time I decided to come to get close to God.
And how do you do that?
You stay in your room because the best things happen in your room. You don't go outside. You have a chair there for Swami. I have a robe of his, so I have that hanging. And, you know, I give him some water every day. I have make him some flowers or some little food. It's just him and me.
So it is living with Swami.
It's living with Swami. I have his chair right next to my drawing table, and I'm chatting to him, Swami, you like this drawing? And he will mentally correct me when I'm working on any kind of artwork or writing. He is always there guiding and correcting. So he has multiple roles, and the more time you spend alone with him, if you can make or find that time, you have to do it.
Mm.
Our self-transformation is the most important agenda we should have. Ramana Maharshi said our mind is usually occupied with person number two and person number three. And that's so true. If we're not thinking about ourselves, we're thinking about another person or then another person.
Yes,
we're
yes.
not thinking about our relationship with God. And we always think, oh, we'll find some time sometime during. No, it has to be every second.
Swami says that living with God is true education. How has your life changed after you came into Swami's fold?
Well, bear in mind that I was an overeducated, very jaded Western woman who had had far too much education for her own good and was obsessed with shopping.
Okay.
And that's not to put down shopping. Swami loved shopping,
yeah.
And one of my favorite pictures is of him filling shopping bags with goodies. But I was definitely a very selfish human being. I thought only of myself and my comforts, and like many women, when my life wasn't going so well, I resorted to buying treats for myself. I should have a manicure. I should go and buy new outfits. I should have chocolates. I should.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, this is complete self-indulgence. I would see people suffering, and I would think, oh, poor you. But there was no impulse to help. None. I was in Washington, D.C., in New York. There are many suffering people there. I just would look the other way. But coming to Swami, one of the first things I saw him doing was giving out saris to some of the village women. And I was so touched by this, I cried. I cried. And I had never once in my life ever thought of giving a woman a set of clothes.
Mm.
So he melted me very, very fast. And, you know, I didn't even know what Padmanabhaskar was.
So is that what attracted you towards Swami in the beginning, the service aspect?
His sweetness, yes.
His
the way he was so lovingly looking after people. I didn't realize his divinity, of course. How could I? I had never met a divine being before. And when I first saw him, I thought, what a cute little guy. You know, this was in 1989. And in those days, he was walking out around and before Kulwant Hall was built. So he would come very close. And I found whenever I thought of something, like I would like it if you came and looked into my eyes, he would come and do that.
Mm.
And I tested him many times on this, reading my thoughts, and he every time convinced me that he knew exactly what I was thinking. So very rapidly, I wanted to do something for him. I didn't have that many personal questions. I just wanted him to make me a better person. Because my prayer from childhood was, God, please let me be of help to others, especially children. But I had never found a way until I came here. And very rapidly, he, through his devotees here, introduced me to his educational programs.
Mm-hmm.
I began creating children's books with a resident here in the ashram and making books with other devotees, helping them write their stories and publishing them through the Book Trust and also in New Zealand. That was how I felt I could help the best. And more and more, I began wanting to incorporate him in every aspect of my life, not talking about him. To me, he was a very private, it was a very private relationship, so I didn't go home and tell everyone, oh, I've met God. And that would have probably caused a few problems in my professional life.
Yeah.
But he certainly transformed me. To think not of myself, to think first of God, then of others, and then of me last.
Great. So one final question.
Sure.
what would you say to people who still have trouble coming into terms with Swami's physical passing?
Yes, that is quite hard to... It's almost like a counseling situation. When he left his form, my phone rang constantly with many Indian ladies weeping and crying, and they said, oh, what am I going to do? They said, I would always time my housework to stop when Swami was giving darshan in India.
Mm-hmm.
When he was giving his darshan, I would go into my puja room, and then I knew Swami was giving darshan, and I would have his darshan. And I said to them, how can you be so selfish? How can you don't think like this? You know, he's bigger than just the little guy who comes out and gives darshan. His agenda is much, much bigger than this. We are little passengers on his massive ocean liner. He's the captain. Let him do what he will. But that didn't console them. No.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew only time would, and in fact, I don't think time is a great healer for many people. It leaves a big, when you lose the physical form you love, it leaves a great hole, a chasm. A bottomless pit. How can you live without this person who is your mother and your father every day? I know people here in Prashanti especially suffered greatly. And you learn to live around the edges of that chasm. You learn to live around the edges of it. Of course we miss that beautiful form. I miss it. Of course I do. But he, for many years, began to drop hints that he wouldn't always be here.
Yes, yes.
He did. And he...
I guess nobody wanted to believe that.
Well, no. Even when he pointed out to Anil Kumar, he said, this is where my samadhi will be.
Yes.
Before he took samadhi, he called a few very old devotees. And he said, I am going. He said, in future, only my true devotees will see me as a Visharupa, a mysterious form. This will sort out the wheat from the chaff. And... that speaks volumes. What's a mysterious form? It could be his face in the clouds.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a child in front of you in an orange t-shirt and a hungry look on his face. It could be a scrap of orange paper on the ground. It could be seeing his face in the trees. It could be hearing his voice in the wind. What's a mysterious form? The New Zealanders put up a candle at Christmas in 2012, on Christmas Eve, it began to manifest Vibhuti.
Okay.
I was right in front of it, with the candle lit. There was a halo around the candle, looked just like Swami's hair.
Here in Prashanti, right?
Yes, on the samadhi, this candle.
Yes.
And they had some drapery and some padukas. From a distance, there it was. There was a mysterious form with the Vibhuti coming from the center of the candle. And more extraordinarily, this was on Christmas Eve. That Vibhuti had formed the shape of the country of New Zealand.
Okay.
And there was a big om there and stars and crosses. It was the most extraordinary thing. I drew a picture.
Okay.
A mysterious form. Hey, let's look for mysterious forms because that's what he is now. Let's not grieve. He, you know, that is missing the bus as far as I'm concerned.
Yes.
Start looking for him. He's there all around. He will give you clues. And remember, he said, this will sort out the wheat from the chaff. Are you his true devotee? You know, then go with him. Don't stand behind crying.
Thank you. Thank you, Lynn. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Sai Ram.
There's a stream of love. Come to the waters. Come to the waters. There's a stream of love, come to the shore, come to the shore. There's a stream of love, come to the waters, come to the waters. There's a stream of love, come to the shore, come to the shore. How to begin. First you must put all of your trust in spirit. Then just wait on in. There's to the shore, come to the shore. If you're constantly thirsty and the world leaves you unsatisfied, know that in all those places you've been seeking, there's one place you might not have tried. Come to the waters, come to the waters. There's a stream of love. Come to the shore, come to the shore. It's been said that love will cast out everything not of itself. If you will push aside all you're afraid of, reach up, take love off the shelf. There's a stream of love, come to the waters, come to the waters. There's a stream of love, come to the shore, come to the shore.
シリサイラン、私の名前は青田敏子です。日本では、サテザオーガニゼーションの全国教育部の専任をしています。
My name is Toshiko Aota. I'm in charge of the educational wing in Satyasai Organization Japan. I'm from Japan.
バジャンの世話人もしております。
And she's also the coordinator for バジャン group.
仕事はクラシックバレエの教師をしています。
I'm the teacher of the classical ballet dancing.
サイの経営者になっては20年経ちました。
I have been Swami's devotee for 20 years.
スワミが肉体を離れてから4年が経ちました。
It's been 4 years since Swami had left his physical body.
今から4年前のことを思い出すと、とても心が騒ぎます。
She still has to go through the mental, you know, tremblance to think of the four years back to this day.
2011年の4月24日のことをお話しします。
I'll speak about the 2011 April.
日本の東京では毎日、スワミのお体の回復を願ってバジャンをしていました。
Every day in Samite in Tokyo,They sang bhajan. They offered bhajan for Swami to get better.
そしてスワミが肉体を離れたニュースを聞きました。
Then all of a sudden they received the news that Swami had left.
日本でとてもお世話になっていろんなことを教えてくれたブラザーヒラが私たちを呼びました。
And the brother Hira, who was taking care of them so nicely, had called them to Paradite.
この大事なニュースを日本の経営者にどうやって知らせようかというミーティングが開かれました。
And they had a small meeting as to how to convey this important critical message to the Japan devotees.
そして私とブラザーヒラのファミリーはスワミの元へ旅立つことになりました。
Then soon after, brother Hira and their family and her family had departed Japan to be here in Paradise.
パルティに着いたのが4月25日でした。
It was the 25th April they have arrived.
アシュラムに入ると、マンディールに入るとスワミのお御遺体がありました。
When they entered the mandir, they have witnessed the body of Swami.
そのご遺体に向かって一晩中バジャンを歌いました。
And she sang bhajan all night long by looking at the body of Swami.
私は非常に気が動転していました。
I was mentally, emotionally, really about to break down.
もう一晩中涙が止まりませんでした。
All night long, she sang and burst, tears bursted just going through, just all the time crying.
その時、サイの学生はいろいろなバジャンを歌ってくれました。
At that time, Swami's students sang many, many versions.
ランマのバジャン、クリシナのバジャン、いろいろなシヴァのバジャンを歌い終わりました。
ランマバジャン、クリシナバジャン、シヴァバジャン、many versions I sang。
すべての神は一つであるというサイの教えを分かっていたにもかかわらず、私はその見教えをからハートからその見教えが抜けていました。
She knew that as a information and as a knowledge, all the God is the same. But at that time, because she was going through so much mentally tremblance, that she could not take in the fact that God is one.
私が知っているのはサティア・サイ・ババ様ただ一人なのに、どうして今、ラーマやクリシナのバジャンが歌えるでしょうか。
She had only knew Swami, Satya Sai Baba only. So why do I have to sing, you know, Rama version, Krishna version? She just wanted to sing, praise Swami only.
今思うと何という無知なる考えだったことですか。
Now that she's not mentally broken down, she can come, you know, she has come to think that the, it's out of pure ignorance to think like that.
でもその時は本当にサッティア・サイのバジャンしか歌いたくなかったのです。
But she was just refusing to sing any version except for Swami.
なのでその時に私のハートからサッティア・サイのバジャンが生まれました。
So there's one version emerged from her within. This piece is about Swami, Satya Sai Avatar.
Sairam, Sairam, Satya Sai Avatara, Mere Baba, Mere Sai, という歌詞が浮かんでメロディーが浮かびました。
That was the melody that came from her heart.
現在、スワミの肉体が離れた。現在、私はどうやってスワミと向き合っているかと言いますと、やはり、神の皆、この神の皆を愛を込めて唱えることが基本となって私とスワミを結びつけています。
Now that Swami's physical body is not there, how do I connect to Swami? For me, it is important to do Namasmarana by chanting his name, just continuously chant his name, and that's how I connect to Swami.
ですから、日本の新しい経営者や子供たちにこのことを生涯をもってお伝えするように生きていきたいと思っています。
So she has very, she's very determined to live for the rest of her life to just guide people to this. To chant Swami's name and live their life and have a connection with Swami and themselves. That's how she wants to live. So that she'll be an instrument for Swami.
一つ、サッティサイ・オーガニゼーション・ジャパンのサイトでバクティクラブという活動を始めました。
After Swami has left, they created the new group, new section. It's called Bhakti Club. They have a new website.
バクティクラブとは、スワミの親愛に関する御言葉を朗読して、ディボーショナルソングを歌うというものです。
This is purely share the Bhakti.Towards Swami. She read Swami's episode related to Bhakti and she'll sing the devotional song in that section so that whoever come to the website, they can feel the bliss of connecting with Swami.
こうした活動を通して日本の皆さんに耳と耳から入ってくるスワミの名教えをと歌でサイの愛を少しでも感じてもらえばと思っています。
Through this, Seva, she's hoping that people will hear and feel Swami through the ears, Shruti, and from the heart by hearing Swami's songs. That's what she's doing right now.
Bye. April 24th, 2011. I mean, what a day it was. I remember I was at home, and early in the morning, this message reached. In fact, I was not the one to receive this message. My parents were there, and they received the message, and they called me, and they said, this has happened, and this is the latest message that we have received. To tell you the truth, my mind was blank. But immediately after that, the only thing that came to my mind was, what should be done now? In the sense, you know, the way that Swami has brought us up, the first thing that comes in our mind during crisis is to, immediately check and see how best that we can serve in the situation. So I really just took my vehicle and rode back to the hostel to check with the elders there, what is going to happen, how are we, going to manage the situation, because we were really not prepared for it. Nobody was expecting it was going to happen on the 24th or something like that. So when we did go and check, there were a few elders who could give us some guidelines. And I remember we immediately rushed from the senior boys hostel at Prashantinilayam to the mandir, Sai Kulwant Hall. There we met with some more elders and we began discussing how this arrangement is going to be made, when Swami's physical form is going to be brought there for everybody's darshan, and how will the darshan itself be organized, because it was simple to understand that devotees from all over the world are simply going to pour in to Prashantinilayam, and what do we do at that time? So that planning was going on. In fact, we really did not have time to think about anything or even allow the emotion to sink in. That's really how intense those moments were. We immediately made a plan, drew up a chart as to where Swami's physical form, divine form, will be placed for darshan, and how the devotees could make their entry, how would they make their exits, what would be the security arrangement that we would need to make. So this was what was going on at that point of time, and we were involved in, making lists of who would, time slots. We came to know that the darshan is going to be made available for 3 days. So we had to decide time slots and allot people, saying that, please, you'll have to make yourself available here in spite of your emotion and, your feelings at this moment to perform your duty. When Swami says duty is God, that moment, in fact, those few days was a clear vision of that. How each of Swami's devotees, his students, rose up to the occasion, and in spite of, an unimaginable loss, if I may put it that way, they all came up, rose to the occasion, and they put their duty first in order to serve the devotees in the best possible way. And that was what was happening on the 24th. In fact, all those 3 days were so intense. We hardly had any time to think about what's happening to our life, because our dearest Lord, who was more than our parents for us, is physically no longer there. This was not a concept in our head at that point. Somehow, I don't know why, it was not a concept. Personally for me, I very strongly believed that Swami is going to come back, in the sense, in the same physical form. I was really hoping for that. And I said, Swami, you have said that the whole world will come at your lotus feet in the last few years of your advent. And what better way? All the cameras internationally of all, TV channels are on your physical form. And this looks like the perfect divine drama to be enacted, and you could just come back in and the whole world would really witness the resurrection they have been talking about, the example of which is given of Jesus. But this was a hope in my heart personally, and so I actually never shed a tear, because I was somehow convinced that this is a chance, this is a divine drama where Swami's. I couldn't assess the magnitude of this drama. It was much more than just those 3 days. I didn't gather that. And Swami's message, of course, was much deeper than the way I understood at that point of time. So I waited and waited and waited. Those 3 days went on, and finally, you know, they gave that state honor and all that, and the final moments where Swami's physical form, even at that moment, we were absolutely prepared with the hope that, you know, even now, Swami, it's, you might just, you know, just get up in that physical form. You might decide to return. Of course, this was the hope that was there in our mind at that point. And on 27th April, when it finally happened and the Samadhi was constructed and closed, that evening, there were a few people who said that as per the tradition or something, you know, even on the day of the construction of the Samadhi, the basic Samadhi, some relatives have to stay back in that place. You know, that I don't know, somebody just walked in and told us something like that. And we were very few left at that point of time. All the devotees had, you know, after all the ceremonies had wound up and gone to their respective places, just a few of us were remaining. I remember 7 of us. And we decided, okay, so we one more night we will be there. So I stayed on there, and I was sitting right behind Swami's Sannidhi. And that was the first moments that I really got to wonder as to what has happened, you know. And the only question I asked Swami within me was, Swami, what next? What do I do now? What next? And I had an unbelievable experience, and it was an inner experience. Somehow in these 3 days, I don't know if it is because of lack of sleep or what was the reason, but my inner voice was crystal clear to me over these three days. And that moment when I asked this question, Swami, what next? Answer comes from within. It is time for Sarupyam. Thankfully, way before April 24th or April 27th, 2011, when I heard this inner voice tell me, it is time for Sarupyam, Swami had sown the seeds. Nay, he had actually planted a whole tree to explain to me what this really means. What is Sarupyam? Way back in 2005. And if that would not have happened in 2005, it was impossible for me to understand what is this inner message that I am getting. You know, so I would like to now journey back to 2005 where this happened. You know, Sarupyam, just to give the meaning of the word, means to attain the divine form of the Lord. In the sense, like Swami gives the example of Bharata. Bharata, for those 14 years of Sri Rama's exile, was intensely contemplating on Rama. And Swami has told very clearly that Bharata was Nirgunopasaka. In the sense, in the physical absence of Rama, he was contemplating on the Rama Tattva, which is all pervasive, which is within us, in us, around us, above us, around us, as Swami says. So Bharata was contemplating on Rama so intensely that after 14 years, when Rama and Bharata return to Ayodhya, even the three mothers were unable to recognize who is Rama and who is Bharata. When they came to Garland, Bharata gestured towards Rama to say that this is Rama, because even the mothers, just imagine that, could not distinguish who is Bharata and who is Rama. It was because of intense contemplation and implicit obedience and adherence to Rama's teachings and words that Bharata could become like Rama, literally, even physically. You know, so Swami gives this example and says that this is the example of Sarupyam. And the message which Swami gave that day was, it is time for Sarupyam. Going back to 2005, we had done a drama entitled Tyage Naike Amritatva Manashu, in which we had a particular scene which was of Bharata and Rama, you know, in Chitrakuta, where Bharata goes to plead with Rama not to leave him and go, and in turn accept the kingdom. But Rama, you know, the story is well known. Rama denies and eventually Bharata installs the padukas of Sri Rama, and Rama continues on his divine mission southwards in India. So that whole story was depicted in this drama, Jage Naike Amritatva Manashu, which was to conclude in this manner. Bharata told Rama that in 14 years' time, if you do not return, I will jump in the fire that I have myself lit for performing the yajna. So he said, I will light the fire and I will jump into it and give up my life if you don't return after 14 years. So the story goes like there is slight delay. So Rama actually sends Hanuman ahead and sends the message to Bharata that Rama is on his way. Don't take any drastic steps. And very soon Rama arrives, and you know, the Ram Bharat Milap happens. They both meet each other, and it's a beautiful scene. After which they return to Ayodhya and all that, right? This was the scene that was depicted in the drama Tyage Naike Amritatva Manashu, and I happened to do the role of Bharata. And what happened there was, after the drama concluded, when we were going for the final formation, we usually, those days, Swami would, you know, give us the chance of holding his hand as though we would support his physical form, and he would walk down. It's a beautiful chance. And that day, couple of us, another boy who had done the role of Krishna and myself as Bharata, both of us had got the chance to go up to Swami, hold his divine hands and bring him down the dais to where we were all standing for a group photograph. So we went there and brought him. We took a very nice photograph with Swami. After which, you know, after all the actors take their photo, we move back and all the support staff, that is the sets, the music people, all of them come and have their photograph with Bhagwan. So when we moved back and all other boys rushed in, I comfortably moved to a point near where doctors used to sit on the Ganesh portico in Sai Kulwantha. I moved in that direction so that when Swami walks back into interview room, I'll get another nice close darshan. So I went there and I positioned myself there. In the meantime, as Swami was walking up the dais, that is the Ganesh portico, Swami was asking something all along, which of course I didn't know and I couldn't hear that also. But once Swami came on top of the Ganesh portico, he looked at me and asked a question. He asked me, "Are you Bharata?" I said, "Swami, yes, Swami." So he said, "Chala santosha, manchidi." He blessed me. And then he just walked away after that. When I came back to the hostel, you know, some of my classmates who were there in the drama, some of my roommates who were there in the drama, they told me that all along the way, Swami kept asking, "Are you Bharata? Are you Bharata?" You know, to different actors. When he got on to the Ganesh portico, Swami looked at me and asked this question, "Are you Bharata?" I said, "Yes, Swami." And he was very happy. He said, "Chala santosham," and he blessed. Much later, this happened in February 2005, in the month of April 2005, I think April 7th, 2005, it so happened that out of the blue, Swami gestured to me to come and give a talk. We were totally unprepared. We were prepared for a quiz program, and Swami gestured to me, eye to eye, not even a physical gesture, and said, "Come." And he said, "I want students to give a talk." So he just gestured to me. When I went up to him, that itself was a very big experience, which maybe sometime later. But then in the context of the talk, he gave me the direct experience that it is he who speaks and we are just a mouthpiece, an instrument of his. And after the talk was over, when I went back to him, he waved his hand and materialized the ring. And that ring was a very unique ring. And he asked me, "What is this?" You know, I was already shivering. I was not prepared for the talk. How those 13 minutes of the talk went, I have no idea. People said it was extraordinary, which I had no idea about. And here was Swami rewarding for something which I did not do. You know, it was an overwhelming experience. And Swami asked me, "What is this ring?" I said, "Swami, it is a ring." Swami said, "Of course it's a ring. What is this?" I said, "Swami, it's a snake. You know, it looked like that intertwined snake." So I said, "Swami, it's a snake." Then Swami said, "Kazu kazu bangaru, Idi Salokyam, Sarupyam, Samipyam, Sayujyam. This happened in April 7th, 2005. Swami said, Salokyam, Sarupyam, Samipyam, Sayujyam. And he put the ring in my hand. You know, of course, it was a perfect fit on the right hand, little finger and all that. And then, in fact, I did not know these four words. Swami asked me, Emi Cheppu? And I said, Swami, I don't know these words. And Swami said, I will tell, you repeat after me. And he said, Salokyam, Salokyam. Sarupyam, Sarupyam. Samipyam, Samipyam. Sayujyam, Sayujyam. So he made me repeat. And it is only on April 27, 2011, that I realized what is the significance of that moment when Swami personally told me, Salokyam, Sarupyam, Samipyam, Sayujyam. And the meaning of Sarupyam as it goes is, Bharata was in physical separation of Rama for 14 years. Rama, and he was pleading with Rama, don't leave me and go. Don't leave us, the Ayodhya Vasis, and go. We cannot bear your physical separation. That is what Bharata was praying to Rama. But Rama said, see, I have come here on a mission and I have to fulfill my mission. I have my entire mission ahead of me. So let me go ahead that way. But my request to you is, you follow my instructions. And that is the way you can emancipate yourself, you know. So, Sarupyam literally meant that Bharata lived in physical separation of Rama, but during which time, what he did was very significant, and that was the message for me personally from Bhagavan. That's what I felt. What he did in those 14 years was intense attention on Sri Rama Tattvam in him, intense contemplation on Sri Rama Tattvam in him, and his physical activities were a reflection of Rama's message. Swami has so often said, your life should become my message. Bharata's physical activities, his life, was a reflection of Rama's message. It was a reflection of exactly the way Rama would do things. But his inner life was in continuous contemplation of his Atma Rama, which was his own self. And that was a very clear-cut instruction which was given by Bhagavan. And the situation was very similar. If you look at what happened the entire month in 2011 between March and April, the whole world was like Bharata and Ayodhya Vasis. They were all pleading with their Rama not to leave them and go. You know, but then Rama said, once I have willed something, I myself will not change my will. You know, and he says that will also is for Loka Kalyana. And hence, Rama did go ahead with plan, just like how Swami. He did go ahead with his will, his plan. Yet, the truth is, love never fails. Because I used to ask Swami this question during that 1 month, you know. I would say, Swami, maybe I am not that true devotee which you are looking for, my prayers. But is there not a single true devotee in the entire world? You said one devotee is enough for you, isn't it? But then, this situation or this scene from Ramayana between Bharata and Rama gives that answer. You know, Bharata was the embodiment of Prema. Rama was the embodiment of Dharma. And Janaka, who gave the verdict, says, Prema is always victorious over Dharma. It is not possible. But Prema also has its Dharma. It is called Prema Dharma. What is the Dharma of Prema? In love, you have to ask your beloved, in what lies his joy, his happiness? Which means we have to ask Swami, what is your joy? What is your happiness? What is your will? I am here only to align myself to that. So that is the dharma of prema. So from this scene, it was very clear that, yes, that is what Swami wanted us to be, or at least that was a message given to me, that it is time for Sarupyam. So from that moment on, it was a deep struggle to understand how to make this Sarupyam a practical experience in my life. And that sadhana has been going on since 2011. And it has been a wonderful journey since then. And when we have the Atma Rama, Sai Rama, as my own self, resplendent, beaming all the time, there is very little coping to do once we recognize that the outer life of ours should be in tune with His life, His message. And our inner life, we should not lose a moment of attention. We should not divert a moment of attention from our Atmik Rama or Atma Self. So that is the message which Swami gave. And Bharata is the perfect example. And I still linger about with that hope, because for Bharata, he had Samipya, Salokyam. Salokya means to live in the kingdom of God, a very simple translation. Then he got Sarupyam, that is in the physical separation. That is what happened to Bharata first, physical separation. During which time, he developed this intense sadhana, both within and without. And after that he got Samipyam. You know, when Rama returns and becomes the emperor of Bharatvarsha, that and Ramarajya was established, Bharata was made the Yuvaraja. So he got to actually serve Rama in close proximity, which is Samipyam. So Bharata Samipyam came after Sarupyam. And finally Sayujyam. Sayujyam means all of them, Lakshmana, Bharata, Shatrughna, all of them merged in the aspect of Rama, that is in the Rama Tattva entirely. You know, so Bharata's own life sojourn, his journey, was of Salokyam, Sarupyam, Samipyam and Sayujyam. In this context, I feel Swami's message to me at that point was, it is time for Sarupyam. Means, there is physical separation. It begins now. Be like Bharata. Start your inner journey right now. And also ensure that your outer countenance and your behavior and manners reflect being Swami's child, Amritasya Putra. Now when I look back, though we all miss Swami so intensely, but I just cannot but blissfully thank Him in gratitude for continuously being here and continuously holding my hand and taking me on this beautiful spiritual journey. And anybody who is on this spiritual journey, let me tell you from my own experience, you don't need any other support or aid. It is the most beautiful thing to happen. And once this inner journey is made, then there is no missing Swami.
Life in all reality. Know right now that we are free. That's the way of the Lord. Love all, serve all, listen to the call of the Lord. Love all, serve all, be willing to see the one in your fellow man. Every morn when we open our eyes, abundant surprise just waiting for us to recognize that's the way of the Lord. Love all, serve all, listen to the call of the Lord. Love all, serve all, be willing to see the one in your fellow man. You and I are here to the light of God into everything. Let Him be the song we sing. That's the way of the Lord. Love all, serve all, listen to the call of the Lord. Love all, serve all, be willing to see the one. Willing to see the one. Be willing to see the one.
Sai Ram, my name is Supriya. I've been living in Puttaparthi now since 2009. By profession, I'm an academic and I work as a consultant in the development sector. When Swami first left the body in 2011, it was quite a shock. Even the time when he was in the hospital and there were many indications that he would probably leave, I think there was a lot of resistance. Despite all the signs and the indications that he was giving. In fact, I even offered a bribe to him. I said I would stop watching television if he came back fit and fine. But, I mean, that was a very paltry incentive, but that was what I could come up with at that time. Well, you know, it was a divine will and he left. And after that, for a few days, I was very overwhelmed with the grief and was missing his presence, because one gets used to seeing him every day. So that was painful. But I think that grief also has a lifespan. And because it's not our real nature, it doesn't last long. And the connection with Swami is always inside. I mean, I've been coming to Puttaparthi since I was a child. And when I was 5 years old, Swami was different. Even his body kept changing. It wasn't the same. His reactions to us or the way he talked to us always changed. He was different when I was 5. He was different when I was 10. So that kept changing. But the inner connection always remained the same. And I think that inner connection is the same for all of us. And all of us really rely on that to feel our closeness to Swami and understand what our relationship with him is. So eventually, I think things became normal, and one is always looking for happiness inside, and that is where Swami really is. It's not to say that, you know, you don't miss him at times, but I think even in that grief, there is a sweetness and there is a joy. So Mahasamadhi really means to be absorbed in that stillness of the formlessness. If the birthday is about celebrating his form and how the avatar descended onto the earth, then the Mahasamadhi is also about celebrating the formless. It's another opportunity, like a bonus opportunity. You connect to his presence everywhere, because I don't know if I can exist without that connection. So I don't know if there's a method or there's a specific way in which I connect. It's just there. I mean, you just feel it and you live it, because without that feeling, I don't know if I can exist. Of course, there are times when you don't feel connected to the source, and that gives you a lot of grief, and it turns your life upside down. So eventually you go back to just feeling the presence. You see it in the leaves and you see it on the sand and you see it in people, and there's always a reminder of his presence through somebody else who shares their experience, or some music, or, you know, every day some smile, some joke. So he's always there, and I think it's really an opportunity to feel him everywhere instead of in one place. So really more of him now.
More. I remember vividly that in November 2010, when I was in Puttaparthi for Bhagwan's darshan, I mentally said, "Swami, it pains me to see you looking so weak and fragile. I will not ask you again for darshan. You just be well. That's all I want." Little did I know that Bhagwan would call me to Parthi in a couple of months, and that too for his last physical darshan. In January 2011, something prompted my mother to tell my father and me, "Why not do Parthi Seva in March this year? Swami also would be there in Parthi." So my parents and I landed in Puttaparthi on March 21, 2011, and we had Bhagwan's darshan that evening. We then registered for Seva, and since my duty at the General Hospital got over by 4 p.m., I would run to sit in Kulwant Hall every evening. I was blessed to have darshan again on the evening of 23rd March and 25th March also. In fact, on 25th March, my parents were not inside Kulwant Hall, but I was there. When Bhagwan came in his car that evening, I had his darshan and felt very blessed. As his car went to the gents' side and again made a round and started coming towards our ladies' side, I thought, "Wow, how come he is coming again? Anyway, another darshan round. What a bonus." Little did I know that this would be the last physical darshan of the Satya Sai avatar. In retrospect, I really feel that Bhagwan passed on some of his divine energy to me in that last physical darshan, preparing me in many ways for all that I was to face in the road ahead. He energized me for many tests and difficulties, and also blessed me by filling my head with his divine wisdom so that I could do my bit for Radio Sai as a volunteer. That is how I see it. The inevitable happened on April 24th morning. I remember receiving an SMS from a Sai sister saying that Bhagwan had left his physical form. I was shocked and did cry for a while, but then I knew he had a perfect reason for leaving. I spent the evening by attending the bhajans at our nearby Sai center and by playing the harmonium as my tribute to him. The next day, when I saw the photo of Bhagwan's physical frame in the casket on the cover page of the Hindu newspaper, something struck me deep inside my heart. I said, "Swami, this image, though painful, will serve as a constant reminder to propel me to live for you, work for you, and practice your teachings as best as I can. I shall never forget this pain." Thus the journey started. Like many people who have been living away from Puttaparthi, I too have always connected more to the omniscient Bhagwan. But then the Mahasamadhi did shock me, because the physical frame had left and I could not see him when I wanted to in Puttaparthi. The Mahasamadhi pushed me to start making the inward journey and to connect to the Sai within. I can confidently say now, after 4 years, that I have grown in my relationship with Bhagwan. I know that he and I are one, even though I am not able to fully appreciate it all the time. Bhagwan has made me realize over these 4 years that he is seated in my heart all the time. I know I can always find him within me. This is something I knew only in theory all the many years before April 2011. But now I am absolutely convinced beyond doubt that he is the Lord within not only me, but also within other people. It is also this very same benign Lord who responds beautifully to every thought of mine, every wish of mine, and every prayer of mine. How many signs and coincidences I experience each day. It is just too beautiful to capture in words. It is a thrill that I feel every single day. There is also another aspect. I somehow feel that the Mahasamadhi forced people to become clear about their priorities. It made those who loved only the form probably drift away in some sense. But it also made those who truly loved not only his form, but also his timeless messages of truth, unconditional love, and service to become more and more focused on practicing his teachings in daily life. The Mahasamadhi made me, or rather pushed me, I would say, to choose Bhagwan as my top and only priority. Nothing else matters for me anymore except him. The Mahasamadhi was a wake-up call of sorts, asking me to prove to myself how much I love him and how eager I am to make efforts to transform myself daily to become his dear child. I know I am on that path, and I also know Bhagwan is happy because he keeps acknowledging it to me in many ways. However, I also know that I'm not always successful and I have a long way to go. But my beloved Lord, with his infinite love and patience, will guide me until I become his ideal child. And that is my only prayer to him. Jai Sai Ram.
Take me away, won't you carry me? Let me rest in your arms for a while. Take me away, won't you carry me? Let me bathe in the sweetness of your smile. Oh, Baba, take me away.
Sairam, I'm Lalita Shekhar from Bangalore. I offer my pranams full of love and gratitude to our Lord and Sairam to all the listeners. Swami came to me through my husband, Shekhar, who had been a devotee since his childhood. After knowing that I love to read, I was given a book by my husband, Man of Miracles, and I finished it with a great interest and enthusiasm. So, when immediately after marriage we came to Parthi to seek Bhagwan's blessings, more than anything, I was curious to meet the person from the book. Being there for very first time and knowing nothing about the procedures, I followed whatever instructions were given to me and ended up in the second line. Swami came, stood in front of me and smiled. I folded my hands in a very natural reaction and smiled back, and the bond was sealed. We shifted to Bangalore in 1994 February, and a long and exciting journey started. Every summer was spent with darshans and divine discourses of Bhagwan, and we looked forward to it the rest of the year. Every darshan was full of excitement and concerns. Excitement of seeing him again and concerns about if I can see him properly or will it be a faraway glimpse. We all have our own tales to tell about this. I cannot say that every day I had the darshan I hoped for, but what I can assure is I never came back from the darshans disappointed. He has his own million and more ways to comfort us and make us happy, always. It was a long and heavenly celebration. Then Swami stopped his Vrindavan visits, which brought us to Parthi often. There had been a few changes with time, and after almost a month of intensely painful and prayerful time came the 24th of April 2011. Devastated, depressed, shattered, all these words fell short of explaining how we felt. Like his billions of other kids, I too became numb, went blank, and entered a phantom zone. I came back to Parthi that year after Guru Purnima. It was a very painful and tears-filled trip that was followed by many more such trips. At one point, I started to think deeply and realized that Swami, even in his physical form, did not encourage or grant physical interactions to me. But as I said, he always made sure to make us happy. And I was very satisfied and at peace. So what has changed now? I'm not able to see him. Exactly. I am not able to see him. Before I came to Parthi all those years back, and now after the form disappeared. But Swami has always been there. Because Swami simply is. So maybe it's time for me to learn to see him and feel him. It was a great moment when I understood that previously it's a maximum of 1 hour that I got to see him. But now there are no such limitations and it is completely up to me to spend as much time with my Swami as I wish. This has become my practice since then. And Swami with his infinite love is constantly guiding me. What brings me to Parthi now? I have a few flowers pressed in books which I cherish because Swami touched them. How many of us have such flowers, kerchiefs, pictures, books as our most valuable possessions? When I cannot part with them now, how can I not come to Parthi, which was selected by our Lord as his birthplace, from where his avataric mission was launched and carried on? Every particle was sanctified by the touch of his divine feet. Where Swami spent his earthly journey, playing, growing up, blessing not just our world, but all the beings of all the worlds. It is my way of paying respect and showing my reverence to his abode, my home. Thank you all for allowing me to share my thoughts and feelings. Sai Ram.
వా కదాచిన్నాయం భూత్వా భవితా వానభూః అజో నిత్యః శాశ్వతోయం పురాణో హన్యమానే శరీరే. జనమ మరణ కే బంధన కాహే బాంధే సాయి కో జనమ మరణ కే బంధన క్యా ఇస్ సత్య కో భూల గయే క్యా ఇస్ సత్య కో భూల గయే కే సాయి బసే కణ కణ కాహే బాంధే సాయి కో జనమ మరణ కే బంధన కాహే బాంధే సాయి కో జనమ మరణ కే బంధన. समझाया मानव रूप मधुर धर के साई ने सबको समझाया मानव रूप मधुर धर के ये शरीर तो नश्वर है पर साई अनंत निरंतर है प्रेम से ये दिया उपदेश मेरा जीवन मेरा संदेश सत्य मार्ग पर चल के बने हर जीवन साई संदेश हर जीवन साई संदेश हर जीवन साई संदेश फिर साई के दर्शन होंगे हर पल मन के दर्पण फिर साई के दर्शन होंगे हर पल मन के दर्पण में क्या इस सत्य को भूल गए क्या इस सत्य को भूल गए के साई बसे हैं कण कण में काहे बांधे साई को జనము మరణ కే బంధన కాహే బాంధే సాయి కో జనము మరణ बंधन में जो इस सृष्टि का है विधाता उस पे समय का कैसा बंधन उसका जन्मदिन कैसे मनाए जो है अजन्मा नित्य सनातन आओ साई की शिक्षा को जीवन में अपनाए सबसे प्रेम और सबकी सेवा कर अवतरण मनाए सबसे प्रेम और सबकी सेवा कर अवतरण मनाए अब साई का जन्मदिन होगा हर दिन हर पल हर क्षण अब साई का जन्मदिन होगा हर दिन हर पल हर क्षण में अब साई का जन्मदिन होगा हर दिन हर पल हर क्षण में दर्शन होंगे अब साई के दर्शन होंगे अब साई के दर्शन होंगे हर पल मन के दर्पण में साई बन कर सारथी संग रहेंगे अंतर मन समर्पण